Well, it's great to be here. In order to make it more convenient, we moved from Norfolk into our house in Cumbria yesterday, and I have not slept there, but my wife now has. So it's great to be down at the other end of the country for a little bit. It took over an hour to get down by road, I can assure you. But it's great to be here. Now, I'm supposed to keep to half an hour, and the age of miracles is hopefully not over. But I'll try very hard to be obedient. Can I please ask you to listen to everything I say? We called the ministry Paradox Ministry because a paradox is, you know, on the one hand, this is true. On the other hand, that is true. And I am unashamedly a Christian Zionist. So let me explain that for the benefit of those who don't know. That is, a Christian who believes God has not finished with the Jewish people, he has a purpose for them, and that's very special. But I once went, because I am quite a wicked person, really, I once went to a gathering of Christian Zionist leaders and described myself as a pro-Palestinian Christian Zionist. I think they're still getting over it. But I wasn't really joking, because, you see, I think God is pro both peoples. I'll come back to that in a minute. But all I'm asking you to say is, I am going to say on the one hand, well, I may not use the term, but I am going to say on the one hand this, on the other hand that. But let's just say one practical thing. I prepared this PowerPoint so that I could control it, so it's as complicated as possible. And so our friends at the back might find it very difficult to deal with it. We'll see what happens, but I hope that we actually were. Don't blame them if anything sort of goes wrong on that. But obviously, on the one hand, we're at a time, Tuesday is the International Holocaust Remembrance Day. The UN set that up some time ago. And I saw, I don't know if some of you saw that film, The Eichmann Show, on television the other night. Strange title, but a brilliant film. And it brought back, and it showed actual horrific scenes, briefly, from the Holocaust. And of course, anti-Semitism has been in the news, anti-Jewishness has been in the news recently. And so it's very current, and Jewish people are concerned. Of course, there's controversy. My Jewish friends always say there's always controversy. In fact, what they say to me, this is what Jewish people say, that when you get two Jewish people together, they have three opinions because they love to disagree with one another. So some of them think anti-Semitism is not really worse, and others do think it's worse. I suspect it is worse, actually. On the other hand, of course, we have what's going on in the Middle East, and often Muslims are the target, Christians are as well. And terrible things are happening, and the need of the Palestinian people. And so we're in a situation where the whole thing is in the news. And sometimes the way the Palestinians and the Israelis treat one another, as you well know, is not really good. So I'm a Christian Zionist. Can we have the next photograph, please? I was, amongst other things, the rector of Christ Church Jerusalem in the old city of Jerusalem for a number of years. And I was head of an organization which seeks to share the gospel with Jewish people. And that really is a tremendous priority for me. If I have the next photograph, let me show you part of the congregation as was. Going from the left, that's a Jewish believer, the lady, a messianic believer, as they call themselves. There's my wife, and then there's me, the handsome bloke in the middle. And then there is an Israeli Arab woman, and then there is her husband, a Palestinian believer. And it was great to be in a congregation where you got that sort of, as well as many other many other nationalities. And one of the things that I found very enriching was to talk to my staff. Half the staff were Jewish, the other half were Arab. And I knew a lot about the Jewish side of things and talked to many Jewish people, but I had the privilege of talking at length, but above all, listening at length to the Arabs. I learned a tremendous amount. It was a life-changing experience, the whole thing, talking to the Jewish people as well. And so we come to that question. Next picture, please. You've got to get bored with this, aren't you? Next picture, please, really. Anyway, what is God's heart for the people of the Holy Land? Well, I want to say, and I think there is a frame actually for this as well, that God is love. I do not apologize for that, because my theology, I think I said this maybe last time I was speaking here in Hastings, my theology is incredibly complicated. God loves the Israelis as well as the Palestinians. Isn't that complicated? But it's true. Absolutely believe that. Why, if I can dare to put it in this way, he can't help it. Because he is love. And if you are love, you can't help loving. Do you know, God actually loves you. But even more amazing, he loves me. That's incredible. And he loves both the Israelis and the Palestinians. Wow, that was a complicated bit of theology, wasn't it? Sure you don't understand it. I'm joking, of course. Of course you understand it. But that's so absolutely vital. And so he wants a mutual relationship with all people. And so St. John says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them. We do not have God's heart if we don't love the Israelis, if we don't love the Jewish people, obviously wider than Israelis there. We don't have God's heart because he does. But on the other hand, we do not have God's heart if we don't if we don't love the Palestinian people as well. And yet I see Christians and other people who may not call themselves Christians polarizing. Oh, I'm pro-Israel. Oh, I'm pro-Palestinian. And God says, I'm pro-both. And we need to take that seriously, because he is love. So I am a pro-Palestinian Christian Zionist. In other words, I'm a pro-Palestinian, pro-Israeli, if you like. Because that, although I'm putting it in snappy terms, is actually representing what God's heart is, basically and fundamentally, to the people in the Middle East. And of course, we could say it about people in the other surrounding Arab nations as well, not just in the Holy Land, but we're majoring on the Holy Land. Where have we got to? Can you put the next photograph on, see what it is, because I can't remember. Ah, yes, right, we'll come on to that. Just one thing before... No, we'll come on to that right now. This is a family, and from the left, an Arab believer, the husband. On the right, a Jewish believer, the wife. Quite what that is in the middle, I'm not absolutely sure. But that was, they were another family within the congregation. Isn't it great to see that sort of thing happening? That's not news. The news is, you know, somebody kills somebody. But that's much better news. When God is bringing together in Israel, they're both Israelis, they're all Israelis. Israeli Arabs are the same people group as the Palestinians. It's just Israeli Arabs have Israeli citizenship, Palestinians don't. So they're the same people. And there you've got the two brought together in love in a family. And I just think it sums up what God's heart is towards the Holy Land. And we need to take that seriously. Now, moving on, and perhaps this is the next slide, I'm getting lost myself here. Paul, on the one hand, stresses the lack of difference between Jew and Gentile. And so, first of all, both are sinners needing God's justifying grace. He says in Romans 3, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, and obviously Arabs are part of the Gentile world, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Christ. So we're all on a level, Jews and Gentiles, before God, whatever we are, whoever we are. And secondly, both are justified by faith apart from works. If you think that you can impress God, this is a good English, British sort of theology, that maybe I'll be good enough to get into heaven. Now, I've got news for you, you won't. You won't be, and neither will I, because that's not what the foundation is. The foundation is not good works, important and vital though they are. The foundation is whether you actually trust Jesus Christ. The foundation is whether you have a sort of friendship with Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is all about. isn't just about religion, isn't just about singing hymns, important though that is, it's about a personal relationship. Do you know, it's so complicated, as an eight-year-old, I entered into that relationship with Jesus. And although I sometimes forget my name, having got to a very advanced age, I can remember that time in the little, I'm afraid it was not in the Church of England, how terrible, it was in a gospel mission. And I actually committed my life to Jesus Christ as an eight-year-old. It can't be that complicated, can it? And that's what it's all about. And that's true for Jews as well as for Gentiles. We are justified by grace, by the grace of God, as we trust in Jesus Christ. And therefore the good works come in because we show our gratitude that Jesus has saved us by dying on the cross for us. And it's the same for Jews and it's the same for Gentiles. And then thirdly, both are united in the one body. And he says, Paul says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. And he says elsewhere, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, there is neither male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So in other words, Jews and Gentiles, and let's be more specific, Jews and Arabs, Jews and Palestinians, Israelis and Palestinians, they are on a level. They're the same before God. We all are. That's on the one hand what is true. But my next main point is that Paul stresses he still has a purpose for the Jewish people. Can we have the next? Here we are. So look at these statements. You know, there are some very clever people, theologians and others, who never seem to have read these verses. They think that God has finished with the Jewish people. You know, he's now only interested in the church. He's not interested in the Jewish people as a people. That's a very good theory, except it isn't what the New Testament says, which tends to undermine it. And so you can see these statements. Well, at least you can. I can't. I've got to put my glasses on to see them. And he says this, I ask then, did God reject his people, talking about the Jews as a fellow Jew? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. So some people teach that, you know, the Jews rejected Jesus when he came. A lot of them did anyway. And so he's rejected them and there's no further purpose for them. But that isn't what the New Testament says. He hasn't rejected his people. And then Paul goes on to say, again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. And then he comes up with this wonderful statement in Romans 11, 25, 26. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. God has a purpose for the Jewish people. It's not separate from the church because it actually is a purpose in Jesus, in Christ, that all Israel will be saved. There is coming a time when there will be a massive turning of Jewish people towards Jesus, to faith in Jesus. Can you imagine what that will do in the Middle East? I'm looking forward to that. I'm not sure if I'll still be around when it happens, but that's one of God's purposes for the Holy Land, is to bring the Jewish people, not necessarily literally every Jewish person, I don't know, but a massive turning by the Jewish people into Christ. That's a real miracle, because the Jewish people have been put off the gospel by Christians. And they see that they blame Jesus for what Christians have done to them. And we have persecuted the Jewish people more than most groups. And it's a terrible thing. And we should be ashamed of it. And we should obviously change our ways. But on the one hand, I said a few minutes ago, that God, we're all on the same level. So Israelis and Palestinians are on the same level before God. And it's the same approach. But on the other hand, God does have a specific purpose for the Jewish people. This is why I'm a Christian Zionist, because of what Paul said. I'm sorry, I don't know how to switch my phone off, and now somebody's ringing me. It's absolutely brilliant. It's a new phone that I've only had for a month, and I haven't the foggiest idea how to switch it off properly. So I'm so glad that this person is going to ring off very soon. But at least if you were getting bored with the talk, it's waking you up, so that's very great. So God has a purpose for... I thought that might happen. I'm sorry, John. But if you can tell me how to switch it off, I'll switch it off next time. Now, there's another thing. If we can move on to the next one. Yeah. You see, Jesus hints at the Jewish people regaining Jerusalem after they lost it in AD 70. Well, they'd lost it before that, really. Now, this is quite, in a way, this has some implications which are very controversial, of course, because one of the great disputes today is over the control of Jerusalem. Well, I'm happy to talk about that, but there's no time for me to talk about that at the moment. I'll do that in the questions, by all means. But the interesting thing is that his disciples asked him, what are the signs of your return? What are the signs of your return? And he gave various signs, and one of them was this here, in Luke 21, 24. They, Jewish people, will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, Jewish people began to have some control in Jerusalem for the first time in about 2,500 years, in 1948. And as I've shown you there, two newspaper cuttings from that period of time. I mean, if that isn't significant, it's an amazing coincidence, isn't it, really? Jesus said that as a sign of his return to earth, that the Jewish people, after being abroad all over the world, and that of course is true, they lost Jerusalem and so on, they were driven out in AD 70, although there were some few just left in for the ensuing centuries, but until 1948 when that happened. I believe that that is the beginning of a fulfillment of what Jesus was talking about. That doesn't ask, obviously, that doesn't answer all the implications of that, the political implication, the implications for the Palestinian people. I'm aware of all that. I'm simply dealing with this point at the moment. And so some of us are old enough to have seen in our lifetime the fulfillment of what Jesus said, that there will come a time when the Jewish people are in Jerusalem again. They have some control in Jerusalem. And that is a sign of his return. One of my other great interests is what theologians call eschatology. It's actually teaching about the end times, the return of Christ, judgment and heaven and so on. And there are people who teach rather weird stuff. You know, the world's going to end next Thursday at 2 o'clock and this sort of garbage. And they bring the whole thing into disrepute. But a lot of teaching about the end times happens in Scripture. And so whether it's on Facebook or Twitter, because I Facebook and Twitter, and don't I Twitter, or whether it's by email, I actually teach about this as well, trying to be sensible about this. Now, I won't say any more than that, but if you're interested, go on the mailing list and I'll keep you informed. But this regaining of Jerusalem was something Jesus said would happen. And that, I think, is very significant. And I think the next slide says, actually just summarizes what I've said. The return of the Jewish people to Israel is a clear sign of the end times, when God's purposes for the Jewish people, and of course Gentile believers as well, will be fulfilled in Christ and only in Christ. Now, you're sitting there and saying to yourself, some of you, he said he would talk about both sides, and he's been talking about the Jewish side and been very positive about that. Hang on a minute, what about the Palestinian side? So, okay, let's come on to that now. So, my next section, and we can have the next slide as well. God requires the Jewish people to treat the Palestinians with justice. That is a very important teaching. Some people get so fired up about what God's going to do with the Jewish people. The end times, Jesus is returning. It's a sign that Jesus is returning. You know, the Jewish people are back in their ancient land and so on. They get so excited about that, they forget that God also actually thunders forth about justice. Both are taught in Scripture. So God is a God of justice. In fact, it says the Lord hates injustice, and so do I, and I hope you do as well. The Lord hates injustice. And he says in these verses, when a foreigner, I'm going to use the word foreigner, you can debate that one if that's, but anyway, a different people group, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not ill-treat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Is that what Israel is doing? Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. See, this is the other side of the coin. Yes, God has a positive purpose for the Jewish people. It's an exciting purpose. It's a purpose in Jesus. It's through them coming to faith in Jesus, as I said a few minutes ago. But on the other hand, God is a God of justice who absolutely requires, not as an option but as a command, that they show justice amongst other people to the Palestinian people. And if they don't, they are disobeying God. And if you're a Christian Zionist, you should be concerned about that. But if you're not, you should also be concerned about that. And then another one. Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner. Or Jeremiah, do no wrong or violence to a foreigner. So we need to keep both of these thoughts in mind. On the one hand, God has got a great purpose for the Jewish people. He's not finished with them. He's going to bring them a massive turning to faith in Christ, and that will have a tremendous effect, not only in the Middle East, but in the world. And that's a sign that Jesus' coming is drawing near. That's the one hand. On the other hand, God requires them to show justice to the Palestinian people. That is God's heart, part of it anyway, for the Holy Land, that both should happen. So, I'm coming to my conclusion, so I'm keeping more or less within time, which is amazing. God's heart for the Holy Land is to fulfill his purpose for the Jewish people by bringing them to faith in Christ alongside Gentile believers. Perhaps there we are. That's where we are. So that's part of God's heart for the Holy Land. Secondly, God's heart for the Holy Land is to fulfill his purpose of preparing them to receive, a little bit of Hebrew, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, alongside Gentile believers. And one of the most exciting things that I ever did in Israel was to go to leaders of Messianic, to conferences, retreats in the desert, of Messianic believers. They are Jewish Christians. They don't call themselves that. They prefer to use the Hebrew version, Messiah rather than Christ. They are Messianic believers. And to see these Messianic assemblies developing throughout Israel, it's exciting. And to see how they were debating at one point whether they should invite Arab pastors, it was a big deal for them. And they did. And it was wonderful to see the Arab pastors coming in alongside the Jewish pastors, all of them believers in Jesus or in Yeshua, as the Hebrew puts it. And it was exciting to see that. So this is part of God's purpose for the Holy Land, his heart for the Holy Land. But God's heart for the Holy Land is that Israelis and Palestinians should practice justice towards one another, and both of them don't at times. They don't practice justice towards one another at times. And we need to take that very, very seriously. So, justice rules out unjustified and indiscriminate violence, such as Palestinian suicide attacks or irresponsible Israeli attacks, which can be expected to injure or kill innocent civilians. They should not happen. God says so. Secondly, God calls for honesty and reliability in political and economic cooperation or negotiation. And I don't think that's fully happening either. And justice requires the two people groups to respect the national concerns of each other, the Israeli need of a secure homeland, and the Palestinian yearning for their own state. On the one hand, the Israelis, they are afraid they're going to lose the land. We may say that's silly, they're too powerful. But they have experienced such persecution over the centuries. And they are afraid they're going to lose the land. And we don't understand them unless we realize that. And that can encourage them to do things that maybe are not the best things to do. On the other hand, the Palestinian people naturally want the self-respect of having their own land. And that is something that has to be taken seriously as well. So I want to say to my Christian Zionist friends that the same scriptures that say that God has a purpose for the Jewish people in Christ, and it's part of the end times, those same scriptures also say that God is a God of justice who requires justice from both people groups, Israel as well as the Palestinians, and we need to take both seriously. I do not believe that we love any people group by being uncritical. You know, if you have children, you will sometimes criticize them, won't you? I'm sure you will. And it's part of love. And I don't think people who think that Israel can do no wrong really love Israel. Because we need to pray about the weaknesses and the failings of Israelis. At the moment, the peace process is a dead duck. And Prime Minister Netanyahu sadly has presided over that. And it just seems like nothing is likely to happen. And we really need to pray that the peace process will be revived. Because it's part of justice. On the other hand, of course, you get people like Hamas amongst the Palestinian community, again, which is often called a terrorist group. Well, you can debate that if you like, but certainly there are those traits there, you'll find them. And so we need to take the whole teaching of Scripture seriously. Yes, God has a purpose for the Jewish people, wonderful, but he also requires the Israelis to show real justice to the Palestinian people. Both are equally important, both and. Not either or. And Israel has much greater power and influence than the Palestinians, and so has the greater responsibility morally at the moment. So what I've done in my almost final slide, if we can have that, is just to list the things that really we need to pray will happen. Through the Hebrew Scriptures, God requires Israel to regard the Palestinians and Israeli Arabs as loved by God as much as they love themselves. God says that. It's not my opinion. I happen to agree with God, but it's not my opinion. God says that's what they should do. We need to pray for that. And that they should care for the welfare of the Palestinian people. They should treat Palestinians as they would fellow Israelis as far as is practically possible. They should use only justified violence against legitimate Palestinian targets. They should act justly in all financial matters to do with the Palestinians. At the moment, Israel, as a punishment, is preventing tax being conveyed to the Palestinian people. I don't believe that's right. I don't think they should do that. They're the things that really need to be to change. They should respect Palestinian land rights, Palestinians' own land already. They should protect the livelihood of the Palestinians. They should be generous towards the poor and needy. They should uphold justice for Palestinians in the court system. They should provide compensation where Palestinians have been treated unjustly. They should avoid humiliating Palestinians. And they should avoid maltreating and humiliating Palestinian prisoners. And if you keep in touch with the news, you'll know that quite often those things are not being fully kept to. And we need to pray that they will. And of course, there are responsibilities on the Palestinian side as well. That they are supposed to show similar attitudes towards the Israeli people, although they are in the weaker position in the situation. So, in rounding off, what I want to say is this, if we can have the next to final one. If Zionists, both Jewish and Christian Zionists, love Israel, they should, where possible, urge Israel to fulfill these biblical obligations. God has brought the Jewish people back to the land partly so that they can practice justice and righteousness. And this is God's heart for the Holy Land. So let's pray for both sides, both and, not either or. Let's pray that God will bring Jewish people, that this time when all Israel will be saved will come about quickly, and a massive turning by the Jewish people to Christ. Wonderful. And let's pray that there will be justice shown by both sides, and particularly by the Israelis, because they've got the upper hand at the moment. and that they will obey the same scriptures that say God has a purpose for the Jewish people. They will obey the same scriptures and show that justice. I believe this is part of what God wants, what his heart is towards the Holy Land. And my final slide is one which, if you've heard of the Mary Sisters, they put up outside Christchurch on the wall near the main door. And you'll see, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you, not just Jerusalem as a city, but pray for the Holy Land. Pray that God's heart will work out for the Jewish people and for the Palestinian people. Only God can do it. It's incredibly complicated, but God is bigger than the situation as we see it there in the Middle East. Can we just have a prayer and then I'll finish? Father, we do thank you for your purposes for the Jewish people. We thank you that you're going to bring them in a massive turn to faith in Christ. And that is a sign of the return of Jesus, as is their return to the land some decades ago. But on the other hand, Lord, we pray that you will bring Israel to see its need to show justice in all the ways that we've briefly looked at, and that the Palestinians themselves will also seek to show the right attitude towards the Israelis. And we pray that there may be a real turning to Christ amongst the Palestinian people as well. Thank you for your heart of love for the Holy Land. Lord, bring about what you purpose. In Jesus' name.